You're listening to Next Level E-Commerce.
It's really a disruptive revolution that's happening right now. We should not underestimate what's going on here.
It all hits so fast.
And I just looked at them all and I'm like, this is it. This is like, I've made it.
I had a victim mindset. It's like, I only had one option.
Now I'm like the opposite. I'm like, F the hustle. I don't want to hustle ever again.
8 months before I sell my business, Amazon tells me, we're going to shut down your account. You have 30 days.
If you really want to build generational wealth, leverage other people's money and continue buying, exiting, buying, exiting.
Each week, we feature inspiring stories from entrepreneurs who have taken their business to the next level. They share successes and failures and what kept them going when they felt like giving up. And here's your host, Isaac Smith.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm really excited for this episode, for another exciting episode of the podcast. This one is actually really special because I have with me one of my teammates here at my company. And just as a little reminder, because I know that some of you kind of forget what my business, what my company does and who we are. So the company, of course, is Summit E-Commerce Advisors. We do bookkeeping and CFO work. We help e-commerce business owners in, you know, their finances, as well as we help build their teams and some other cool things. And with me, I have Daisy Delfinato, who is our operations manager and who we brought on several months ago. Well, not several months. I was thinking it was last year. We brought on a year and several months ago as our bookkeeping manager, and she quickly rose to operations manager. And before, one more thing I'll say is, you may or may not know if you follow us on social media, I just got back from visiting her and the rest of the team in the Philippines, and it was an amazing trip. And that's what we're talking about today, is doing team retreats. In our case, in the Philippines, but if you have team elsewhere, of course, you can apply this, what we're going to talk about, to wherever your team is. So, welcome, Daisy. I'm really happy to have you here.
Hi, Isaac, and hi, everyone. Yeah, I'm very happy to. I'm very happy that I'm given the chance or opportunity to be in your podcast. It's a pleasure on my part, and yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, for those who don't know, Daisy is the one who makes everything in our company happen. She's not the one who does all the work, but if left up to me and Jason, of course, Jason hasn't been on the podcast for a while, but some of you know my partner, Jason. We're very similar in that we have a hard time getting things done ourselves. So we're pretty good with coming up with ideas and getting things started, but we need people like Daisy and the rest of our team to actually make things happen. So if you're one of our customers listening, a lot of your experience is driven by all the things that Daisy's doing behind the scenes.
Thank you, Isaac.
So let's talk about this retreat. Why we did it. First, let's start with why we did it. And I guess I'll start and I'll ask Daisy what her perspective is. So for the listeners, our team, we have a team of, I guess it depends on how you count them. We're doing a lot of different services. Some of our services, we have people working for other companies. We do a bit of what you might call outsourcing. We like to think of it a little differently, but we have about 13 people over there, I think, in total. Some of them are interns. Some of them are working as team members on other companies. So I think our core team is, how many do you think, Daisy? 8 or 9?
10.
10. Okay. So we had a retreat. We decided we wanted to gather everybody together because we're a virtual company. Daisy and I right now are just doing a video call, and that's how we get all of our work done, is virtually. So even the team over there, they all work from home and they're scattered throughout the Philippines, and none of them are very close to each other. They don't get to work with each other every day. So this was actually the first time most of them are meeting each other as well. So the idea was, let's just meet each other. We build great relationships virtually, working together every day. And how awesome would it be to see each other face to face, and just have fun? So, Daisy, what were you hoping to get out of the retreat?
Well, there's a lot actually. First is like really hoping that everyone will have a closer relationship with each other, right? So before having this retreat, everyone is not that confident. I mean, we are confident talking with each other because we've been working for quite some time now, but it made really a big impact or difference in terms of how we can confidently share anything already after the event. So yeah, that's one thing. And other things like sharing secrets or personal matters that we're not able to do before, something like that. So we are already trust each other more. So that's just so awesome to realize after we had this team building event.
Yeah, and we didn't do any work while we were there either.
Yes,
I think when people think about like a team retreat, sometimes it's a working retreat, and I've heard other people talk about how great it is to get together in person because you can get so much more done. So I'll ask you, Daisy, why didn't we do that?
Yeah, it's actually, you're right. Especially in the Philippine setting, for corporations, the typical companies here, they do team buildings as a work based or work focused kind of thing. But since we are the one who we are given the responsibility to really be in charge of the overall planning of the event, we just thought about what works best for us, right? So is it gonna be something that will make us feel relaxed, something like that? So we are the one who made the planning, the whole flow of the event. So we expected that already, that we are not going to have like a work related activity there. And yeah, it worked well. It was done based on what we have planned.
Cool. And you're right. You guys planned the whole thing. What did Jason and I tell you? Did we give you any instructions on we should do this, we should do it here or there, or these are the activities you should do?
There is no actual thing like that. Like you shared some ideas, but we are actually the one in charge. Like we will be in charge of the planning. So there's some ideas that you shared with us, but you know, not everything is applicable for the moment, for that time. So we just did whatever works for the team.
Yeah. In fact, early on, so for the listeners, Daisy and her planning team would early on where they were asking me, hey, what do you think about doing this? Can we do this? Can we do that? And I even told them, you know what, do whatever you want. You don't need to ask me. In fact, it'll be more fun if you keep it a secret and surprise me.
Yeah, that's actually what made the planning so easy. We were actually thinking about how you're going to feel about the program flow and things like that, what things you want to do. But when you told us that we are in charge and we can do whatever we want, like it's super fun and it's super easy for us to do the planning. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, let's skip ahead a little bit and talk about what we actually did. Daisy, do you want to share with the audience where we went, what kind of place we stayed at, the kinds of things we did?
Yeah, sure. So our team building was split into two parts. First is the team building in the sense of games and some activities. And the second part is just tour. So we had it in two places, one in a small province in the Ilocos region, which is La Union. So where we stayed at a nice hotel resort.
Super nice hotel.
Super nice.
Yeah, it was insane. I think actually it's the night. I've been to, you know, a fair number of resorts before, but and hotels. I think this was the nicest resort I've ever been to.
Yeah. It's called the Oreo Hotel here in San Fernando City, La Union. So if you want to check that out, it's a super cool place. There's a beach nearby, and then there's a very, you know, a cool swimming pool, a river. How do you call that, Isaac?
I had never seen this before.
River designed.
Yeah, this place had like seven pools. And a lot of the little, I guess you'd call them cottages, or a lot of them had their own pool in front. And so there was one pool. Well, one of the pools was, it was designed like a river, and it actually had a current, and you could float around and around and around, kind of in a circle. I've never seen that before. It was so much fun.
Yeah. And you can't swim backwards, right? Because the current is like really pushing you. So you don't need to be a good swimmer.
You can't swim backwards?
Isaac did. I challenged him.
That's right.
I challenged him. But the first try, he failed. But he did it again.
Can you believe that, what she's saying about me? So it was right on the beach, very nice hotel, really nice rooms. And we just hung out. We chilled. We ate amazing food every night, every lunch.
Yeah.
It was like a feast every meal. We rented a jet ski, and everybody had a blast cruising around in the ocean. It's a beachfront resort. So you just walk out on the beach by the way, people are not going to know where La Union is. Probably it's about 5 or 6 hours drive north of Manila. Yeah. So we just hung out and had fun for a couple of days and got to know each other. I think this will be fun to share, and what we learned from that. We got to know each other. It was fun for me, as you know, as a leader, I guess, to watch everybody bonding, because we're pretty good with our culture, right? We've done very well virtually, but there's something just magical when you get these amazing people together and give them a chance to really bond. So maybe, Daisy, do you want to share a little bit about what you saw? What was it like for you to see everybody getting along so well? Was it a surprise? Was there anything different than you expected?
Well, actually, since I am near, I mean, I live in La Union, right? So when I first actually saw the team arriving in Manila and already together before I see them all in person, I was like, OMG, they are already like holding hands, right? Hugging each other. I see the pictures, and like, it feels like, or seems like they already have seen each other for so long. So I didn't expect that, actually, because I know that most of our team members are introvert. I wasn't expecting to see people really that close for just the first day. So I was amazed. And then when I saw everyone, we were the last ones. Lauren and I are the last ones to see all the team members. But when we saw you, like, OMG, there's no awkward feeling. It feels like really we're working, you know, an office setup for so long. So doesn't feel awkward at all. And I kind of, I was a bit surprised about that, thinking that everyone is, you know, is not that confident, right? So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I had that feeling as well. As you go into it thinking like, okay, so how's this going to go? Are people going to be shy? Am I going to need to encourage them and you know, like facilitate some conversations before they get comfortable with each other? But no.
Yeah, that's actually the reason why we didn't have an agenda for the first day of our team retreat. We want to have that specific day to get to know everyone better, right? Like just have a talk with them or a little chit chat, like something like that. But yeah, I was surprised that we don't need something like that already. Like we can just go on our program flow on the first day because they are already like very comfortable working or talking with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. So then was there anybody, we don't have to name names if you don't want to, but was there anybody just in general who surprised you, ended up being different than you expected, personality wise or anything?
It's actually you and Jason, because I've worked with some of the members already before in person, right? So I kind of know how they interact with others. But for the other team members, yes, I already have I think I can sense how they can work in person already. But I was surprised about you and Jason, because when we don't talk much, or we don't talk often, Isaac, right? I am always interacting with Jason. So when we talk virtually, he is very I don't know, but when we saw you, like your personality is switched to Jason. That's what I was expecting, that you will be the one to, you know, always talk with us and have fun, or yeah, something like that. But it turned out that Jason is the shy type and doesn't you know, I don't know, I can't explain, but that's my big surprise. I didn't know that you are super fun to be with. Like, I thought that you are so strict in terms of, especially in the business side, right? So you are like really into work. But when I know you, like, OMG, I even challenged you to swim in the river design pool backwards. And then you said, okay, I'll do it for you. So something like that. So I didn't know that. So I'm surprised. I was surprised.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? So if you're listening, let me just give you some of the context that you're missing. So between the two of us, Jason is the one who has all of the accounting and finance knowledge. I'm just the one who likes to talk. So if you ever have a question about your finances, sure, you can come talk to me, but I'm not the most knowledgeable. In fact, Daisy is a lot more knowledgeable than me, and Jason certainly is. So Jason leads the accounting side of the business. I lead more like the team recruiting side, which is a different service that we offer. And so Daisy, having joined us as our bookkeeping manager, you know, that is the biggest part of our business is bookkeeping. And most of our team are bookkeepers. And so he's the one who with Daisy leads that. And so Daisy and Jason talk all the time. And so we have an executive meeting every week. The three of us, Jason, Daisy, and me. And so, you know, as much as I would love to talk with Daisy, I know she's super busy. So I never suggested that we have our own one-on-one meetings. And during the retreat, we talked about that and decided we should start doing that. So I thought Daisy had enough time. You know, how long have you been working with us? Like a year and a half now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought she had enough time to get to know me, but she's right. You know, it's really just meetings. And I thought I had a lot of personality that comes through in meetings, but apparently not. So to me, that was so hilarious that Daisy thought I was going to be this serious type of guy. But tell them who it. Yeah, tell them what I'm like. I don't need to talk about myself.
I don't know. Very silly sometimes.
Silly to the point of embarrassing for me and embarrassing for my wife and daughters a lot of times. I'm the most non-serious person, but it's true. I do have high ambitions, right? So I guess that's, to me, the way I see business is we have a very big mission here at Summit, and we're trying to impact the world. And we're trying to do that through our services with the businesses that we work with, you know, e-commerce businesses, right? If they're trying to do something exciting in the world, whether sell a really cool product, improve people's lives through their products, through their customer service, you know, as well as what happens when a business thrives, right? The employees, they get to hire more employees. Hopefully they treat them really well. They, you know, their lives improve. The business owner gets to feel like he or she is making a difference in the world. Of course, there's a financial reward. So like, if we can help that, we can make the world a better place. And I'm dead serious about that. And so if you have a mission like that, yeah, you're going to be very ambitious. But at the same time, I think it's really important to really have fun and enjoy our work. And so to me, it was just so funny that part of me, which I think is a bigger part of me than the serious part, is didn't come through in our, you know, weekly calls.
Yeah, there are a lot of realizations after the event, right? So you can't see everything in virtual. So there's this confirming stage where you get to interact personally with each other so you can understand better.
Yeah. And there were actually I felt like most of our team, they were mostly like what I thought. There was one or two who I thought were a little shy, but they were just these bubbly, fun. I'm thinking of one in particular, just so bubbly. We'll call her out, Carla. Hi, Carla. Just so much fun, a ball of joy. And in our team meetings, which is the only place that I really interact with her, she just seems kind of shy. And she was my biggest surprise. I will say about Jason, all of your impression of him, like you said, you thought that he was going to be the talkative guy and he was kind of quiet. And he's an interesting character. And for the listeners, you guys, he's been on the podcast quite a few times. He's kind of an adapting type of person. So he'll kind of read the room. And if somebody needs to lead the conversation, he'll do it. Or if they're doing well, he'll just kind of, you know, step out of the way and let things happen. So, sometimes I feel a little bad or guilty about this because I'm the talkative type of person, clearly. And if Jason and I are on a call with somebody, I end up doing all the talking. And I kind of feel bad, like I'm overshadowing him sometimes. But it's just because that's you know, he's adaptable and he'll fill whatever needs. So I feel like the team's impression of him was not quite right, actually, because he is like this very talkative guy. But because everybody was there talking and laughing and having fun, he didn't need to add more to that. So that was interesting.
And just to add some context, we actually have this so-called happy hour every Friday, right? So we just do games in 1 hour virtually. So he's always joining that happy hour, and Isaac is not joining. So we thought really he's the funny guy.
I can see that now. Actually, I never realized that, but it's true. So just for the listeners, so you understand, a long time ago, the team decided they wanted to have their own happy hour. And they asked us if it was okay. And I was like, oh, of course you can do this. And so what they do is they have a Google Meet meeting every week. And they just find silly games online and play them and chit chat and laugh and have a good time. And I don't join those usually. And so I never considered that the message I was sending is I'm too serious. But I'll just be totally honest. There's two reasons I don't do that. Sometimes when I'm busy, I have just too many calls and I've used up my facing the camera energy for that day or that week. And I just like, oh, it's the end of the week. I don't want to have any more. And it's also the end of the day. It's Thursday evening or 5:30 for us. And it's Friday morning for our team in the Philippines. And I'm just kind of tired at that point. I want to go eat dinner with the family. And the third reason is, as silly as I am, I'm not somebody who likes games. I've just never enjoyed games. I don't know what else to say. It's not my thing. And that's okay. So I just never, I mean, I've joined a few times, but it's not my thing. So let's move on a little bit and talk about, so we were by the beach for a few days. Where did we go next?
Yeah, so after that, just circling back to our program flow, right? So the first day we just get to know each other, no particular agenda, no activity. On the second day, that's the team building proper already. So we did the first half of the day is just purely games, right? We did the Pinoy Henyo, the Calamansi Relay, and what was the other one? I don't remember.
I don't know what you're saying.
So these are Filipino games that we want these two dudes to experience. So it was Calamansi Relay and Pinoy Henyo. And I forgot the other one. But it's so fun to play with. And then that's the first half of the day. And the second half of the day, we just did the jet ski. So we had the jet ski activity in the second half of the day. On the third day, it was already time to, you know, enjoy the place. So we had a good time in the beach, in the resort, I mean, in the pool. So that's our time to go to the next destination that we planned. So it was in Baguio. The mountain area.
Can I interrupt before we get there? Actually, these games and these names, these Filipino names of games that you're sharing. So just for a little context, they're just silly fun games that we played. And by the way, I said I'm not into games. I am into these kinds of silly games, but I don't know. I'm a weirdo. Sometimes I don't like certain kinds of yeah, thanks. But these games that we played them on the beach, and like it's just one of these silly like pass the egg with the spoon in your mouth kind of thing. And another type of game which was like you have a word that you're not allowed to see, but your team is able to see the word, and they have to get you to guess what the word is. We played those kinds of games, and it was silly nonsense, so much fun. So that's it. It was fun for me too. So go ahead. So we went to Baguio. What's Baguio, or where's Baguio?
Yeah, Baguio is I don't know, is it a province? Yeah, it's a province in the mountain area here in region. I don't remember, but it's in Luzon. So it's still in Luzon. We went there just to, you know, tour around the city. And I don't know, but Isaac and Jason are fascinated by the view. I thought that's quite common in their place because they are near the mountain area as well. But I was surprised when I saw them, like, oh, this place is cool, and they took a lot of photos in the around the place. So yeah, so what we did is just really continuation of getting to know everyone better, have these chit chats in some of the restaurants that we went to. And yeah, we just toured around, and we had actually, it's a good thing to rent a driver and a car when you do something like that, because it's hard, especially in Baguio, to just commute or look for a taxi, something like that. So it's more practical or more convenient for everyone to just rent. So we had this particular driver. We rented him for the whole event, 5-day event. And he was actually the one who drove people back to Manila as well. So yeah, that's what we did in Baguio. It's just so fun. And adding the cool breeze, you know, the weather to the nice place and to the nice people around. It's just so it's just so amazing. It's an amazing feeling for everyone. And yeah, actually, I heard that people will come back to that place. Like, our employees want to come back to that place to, you know, enjoy with their family. So that's why what I heard. So that means they really enjoyed the stay, right? Yeah, that's a positive impact for me.
Yeah, totally. So I'll just give my perspective. It's funny that you found it interesting that Jason and I were like, ooh, look at this place. So yeah, Jason and I are from Portland, Oregon, which is, if you're familiar with the US, it's in the Northwest, which is a very mountainous place. But what's really cool about Baguio is it's a city that's in the mountains. Unlike Denver is very high elevated, but Denver is flat. It has mountains around it. And that's kind of, so Portland is not high. The elevation is basically sea level, but we do have mountains around us, and we can go up into the mountains if we want to go do stuff. But the difference there is Baguio is this city, very dense city, that is on the side of the mountains. And it's this very mountainous, rugged place. And it's like, I've never been to a place like that, where it's like, because our cities are usually in a flat spot surrounded by the mountains, a big flat area, right?
Oh, now I understand. I thought it's just the same as Baguio. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like, we do have hills, but it's not like this enormous cliff that somehow they've built this, all these houses on the side of. You know, if I've seen photos, of course, of places like Rio de Janeiro and Brazil. And Jason says, I've not been to Hong Kong, but he has. And he says it's similar there. But to me, that was fascinating. And the views are beautiful. So that was really cool. And yeah, we just, like you said, we did some touristy things. Like, we went to the botanical gardens. We rode horses. We did all kinds of fun things.
Yeah, we went to a museum and
yeah, we just had a great time. So and then you brought up some of the practical stuff. I think let's get into that in just a minute, but let's maybe we'll do like practical takeaways at the end. And if you're listening and you're thinking, oh my gosh, that sounds great, I'd love to do this with my team, we'll give you some tips, and we'll tell you what we learned about the practical aspects of it. Should you get a driver? How much did we spend? That kind of thing. So that was, I mean, that was it. I mean, we really didn't do any work. I did hear that some of them late at night secretly went and worked on some bookkeeping work, which was like, oh, you bad employees breaking the rules. That's really it. Then after that, we spent a couple days there and everybody left. We had a great time. We had karaoke night the last night. We just had a wonderful time. Do you have anything else? Oh, go ahead.
We call it the summit night. So that's the last night that we're together. Everyone is there.
Yeah. So let's do some takeaways. What did you learn through this time with your team, with our team? I say your, by the way, listener, I do that. That was a little bit of insight into how we like to run. We truly do like to give complete authority and ownership to our team. So I say your team, because I mean, even though it's our team, I like to emphasize to our team that no, this is your team. So anyway, sorry, go ahead, Daisy.
Yeah, takeaways, actually, I don't know if, but there's a lot, right? So first is, of course, the fact that we are able to see each other already, and we are already comfortable talking with each other now compared before, right? More comfortable, I mean. So that's one thing. Like, it's really saying us that the retreat itself, the whole event, made us realize that, you know, people are easy to talk to, and we can get a lot of stuff done when we are, when there's unity and there's, you know, teamwork, right? So that's the most important thing that I learned, that it's really a necessity for a team to meet in person. So not just work virtually all the time. So it's a big help to lift everything up and, you know, realize that really there's a big impact if we see each other already in person. So that's the first thing. Next one is takeaway. I think the fact that we've been always telling this during this episode, but the idea of, you know, letting, or the founders letting the employees take charge and do whatever what we think is the best, is something that we realize that, oh no, we are super blessed, really. So it's not just talk. They are really doing it. They're really doing it. So if they say you will be in charge, you are really in charge. So they will not meddle. They will not, they will of course assist or somehow support the idea, but they will not let the final decision be in their, for them, right? So they are really giving the members the responsibility to plan the overall. So that's another thing. What
before,
else?
Hey, before you go on, I think it's worth talking about that. So one of the things that has made us so successful, and I take pride in being able to say that, is our culture. And so maybe another time we can have another episode about our culture and how to build team culture that creates a thriving business. But you brought it up right there, is we do give you the authority, and you are in charge. Maybe and that's not just for planning of a retreat, but for everything that we do. So do you want to share a little bit more about how we think about that and how we do it, and maybe an example of a time in work where we gave you the authority to do something?
I remember one biggest move that you asked me to do before. So we were using Rike as our database or our system, the heart of the business before. But when we received an email about the increase of prices in Rike and all that stuff, I realized it's just costly for us right now. So when I told them that I think we can just look for another software that would work the same as Rike, and then I recommended ClickUp, and then they said, okay, do whatever you want to do. Like, if it's really for the betterment of the company, of the processes and things, you can do it. So I was like, OMG, the system, the software that we're going to use forever, or maybe not forever, but to replace the process or the software that they've been using for since the beginning, and they give me the responsibility to, or the accountability, if you will, to decide, right, whatever system will work. So it's something that I was actually surprised that they can give me that kind of responsibility.
Yeah. So that was, so if you're not familiar, Rike and ClickUp are both project management software that or Trello is another one, or Asana you may have heard of. And that was, you suggested that just, I think it was just a few months into working with us, right?
Yeah, two months, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so you were still getting to know us. And what did you expect us to say about that? Or what did you expect to happen? Because you just, go ahead.
I expected you to tell me, research more on the project, on the management tool, the project management tool, and then get back to us with the advantages, for example, pros and cons of using that kind of software. So I was expecting you to ask me for more time to decide, but I was really surprised, like, just for few hours, I guess, you told me you can go ahead. You do whatever is best. So
yeah, so for the listener, that's how we run our company is, I'm not the expert, you know, I'm not the one doing the work, so it's not my job to tell anybody else how they should do their job, because I actually don't know. I'm not a bookkeeper. And we've hired this incredibly professional Daisy, and it's her team, it's her process, it's her everything. So she should be in charge of that. And so what does that do for you, Daisy, to how does that make you feel about, well, I guess about working, like, what does that do for you? Have you ever heard of a company that just gives people that kind of, what's the word? Not authority, but agency, I guess. I don't know what the right word is. But anyway, go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Isaac, what was the question?
So yeah, just how does that make you feel? Like, is that something? Yeah, how does that make you feel as an employee?
Yeah. It made me feel like I am needed and I am being trusted. So it boosts my confidence that I have a voice in the company. So it's a big deal for me that who has experience working in a typical corporation company here in the Philippines, right? So what a typical corporation does is they don't allow the rank and file to, or even the managerial position to decide, to make the final decision. So it's always the upper management, the CEO, the COOs, those in the C-suite level who decides for the final approval. So it's a very different culture in terms of, you know, having the people decide what, you know, about the business. So it boosts my confidence, and it made me realize that you really are you really have a good culture. I actually even told them before when I was being interviewed is, who will ever resign, right? So if you give people all the accountability, the responsibility, and the ability to help decide for the betterment of the company, who will ever resign from your company? So I was actually wondering before when we were having that interview if they really can do that, because it's not just normal. So it's not common to give people the authority to do something like that. So yeah, that's one of the things that I'm really, really proud of with our culture.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. And, you know, actually our team does our social media, and they posted, that's Shara. Shout out, Shara, you're awesome. She posted a quote by Richard Branson a few days ago, and I saw it and I thought, oh, how did you know? Did I tell you I wanted you? Because like that, the quote is such a personal quote to me. When I read that years ago, that's when I think one of the key moments where everything changed for me, and it just was like, ah, that's right. So for the listener, the quote that we're talking about, he said, I'm not going to get it quite right, but he said, basically the customer is not number one. Your team is number one. And if you make your team number one and you treat them as number one, they will take care of your customers. And that just always felt so right. And I said, that's what I'm going to do. And if you are one of our customers, or if you have had any interaction with our company and our team, I'm pretty confident that you can tell, right? Like there's no way that you had a bad experience. And I've seen, you know, so it comes through. And anyway, I guess we're getting wildly off topic here, but to me, team is everything. It's really, really everything. And it's more than sales. It's more than anything. Because if you don't have a great team, right, none of that other stuff matters. And if you do have a great team, also none of that other stuff matters, because they're going to take care of it. So I guess it's not quite off topic, but because that's why this team retreat was so important, because it is all about them. We want to show them that they're appreciated. We value them. And, you know, we're going to do everything we can to make this a really, really excellent experience for them. For maybe we'll get to work together for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years or more, you know?
Anyway. Yeah. And there's one more realization that I have during the retreat. When we were having one of our meals together and we are deciding the food that we're going to order, right? So we just let the team decide for everyone. So I'm sure it somehow made them feel that their opinion matters, right? So you get to decide what the bosses, right, will eat. So it's a big decision to make, right? But we gave them the responsibility or the opportunity to choose whatever they want, something like that. So I remember I asked Isaac and Jason, how do you feel about that? Like, we're just here waiting, or, you know, letting the team decide, having the work, or, you know, making them the work, making them responsible for that kind of stuff, right? So it feels great, they said, that the team is in charge and, you know, they have the accountability. So
I'll add to that. So, like, to me, you know, what you're saying about seems like such a small detail. It really doesn't matter to me. And so, like, what I'm learning listening to you is just even little things that you can do to show your team that they have control over something, it means a lot to them. It doesn't really mean very much to me. And just for a little bit of context, I had never been to the Philippines before, so I didn't know. There's a lot about the culture and the place that I still don't know about, but I certainly didn't know. When you go to a restaurant with a group, for me, I'm used to ordering my meal and the next person orders his or her meal. But in the Philippines, it's much more like family style. So you order a whole bunch of food and everybody, you know, it's all in the middle and everybody shares. But for those of you wondering what Daisy's talking about, that's what it is. So they would order, you know, a few people might pick several things and then the feast would just come. It was an enormous amount of food. But I was not choosing what I ate is what Daisy, and to her, you know, that sounds like, you know, that was kind of a big deal to me, is like, just how it goes. I'll share some of my takeaways. What's really cool is even though we were not doing any work, I really got to understand our team and your capabilities a lot better, which kind of surprised me. But I mean, it makes sense because you chit chat and you learn more about each other. You learn about your each other's family. And then of course you talk about, you know, while we knew where, for example, Daisy, we knew where she worked before. We knew some of that stuff that you cover in the interview and then over time. But we didn't really know so much about her experience. I'm talking in the third person. I didn't know a whole lot about your experience, and especially the others who I have less interaction with. But you sit next to somebody and you chit chat and you talk about work and what you love to do. What excites you? You talk a little bit. So what about your last job? What were you doing back there? Anyway, you just start, having these, you know, natural conversations and you just learn a lot more. And so what I learned was I thought these people were total rock stars, accountants. As we have some people on the team who aren't accountants, of course. But let's just say, for example, the accountants. I thought that they were amazing. But what I learned was they are so much more capable than I thought they were. Like it's shocking. Like these people, Daisy included, they're elite, world-class finance professionals. Like you might not be able to find better people anywhere in the world. And we are not using what we're asking them to do. They're capable of so much more. I had no idea. To me, that blew my mind. And, you know, like if you're talking business, like, you know, business numbers and goals and projections and all of that, like that was worth the cost of the trip. Because, oh, wow, now that we know that, we're going to create new offers and new services that that use their capabilities. And that was, to me, that was just mind blowing. That was a big takeaway. Okay, well, we've been talking for a while. Let's get to some of the practical things. Let's talk about, you mentioned a driver. So why don't we talk about, you know, hotels, drivers, how it works, how much we spent on all this. Did we ever get a final number? I don't know what it is. F kind of teased me with it. Do you know?
I don't either, not yet.
She said, I think she's, well, okay. So we haven't done our final numbers, but I think it was somewhere around $12,000 all in. That includes the cost of, you know, I might be off by 1,000 or two, but it was roughly about that much. we're going to get the final numbers here pretty soon. But that includes the flight, Jason and my flight. That was the biggest expense, I think, biggest single expenses. I think it was about $1,500 for each of us to fly over there and back. So yeah, let's talk about like the hotels. How did you find them? How much do they cost? How do we get around? You mentioned a driver. Yeah, tell us all about that stuff.
Yeah, for the hotel kind of stuff, what we did before is look for a list of the beautiful places here in La Union, right? And since I am living here in La Union, I asked some of my friends, my relatives, what's the best place here in La Union. So they recommended that hotel, the Oreo Hotel in San Fernando City, and that cost it's 8,000 pesos per room. So we rented 5 rooms, so that's 40,000 per night. So we spent 2 nights there, so that's 80,000 for the La Union trip, La Union Hotel. And then we transferred to Baguio.
Hang on. Let me translate this into dollars for people who are not like me, who are not used to thinking of pesos. So that's about $145, $150 a night per room at the resort,
mm-hmm.
Which is not super, super cheap, but for the level of resort, to me, you would have to pay $500 a night or $600 a night in somewhere like Hawaii to get that level of a resort. So
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we were actually just to share some experience. Like, we were actually in the river pool design swimming pool when we talked about like how much do you think that does this hotel cost? Because these guys are comparing the resort there in America here in the Philippines. So yeah. That's 80,000 roughly for the 2 nights. Yeah.
Well, let me tell them a little bit more about what you
go ahead.
Because it wasn't me who brought it up. I think it was you, Daisy, or Lauren, who's another team member, who said, "I wonder how much money this resort makes per year." And so we spent like half an hour going like, "Okay, what if it's 80% capacity? That's, you know, $150 a night," and like. Anyway, so that,
yeah, we were amazed. Like, OMG, we're talking to business owners.
Yeah, well, we got to know. We got to figure this out. So I think we decided just on the rooms alone, just our swimming pool napkin math, I think we decided it was around 3 million revenue US dollars per year. I don't know. Anyway, sorry. Wild distraction. Wild tangent. Go ahead. Yeah. Daisy.
All right. So we transferred to Baguio after we spent another 2 nights there. So, and then we extended, 4 rooms were extended after because we had our executive call and some working sessions with the founders, right? So we spent around 60,000. How much is that in dollar?
Let me open up the calculator. 60,000. Whoops, not 600,000. 60,000. So it's 55 pesos roughly to a dollar. So that's about $1,100.
$1,100. So that's our hotel in Baguio. And then a few days after, we transferred back to La Union where I live. And we rented another hotel here. It's just almost same price with the hotel room, but they just stayed there for 3 nights. So we spent 18,000.
That's $330. Yeah, so that's kind of what you can expect for hotel prices. So one thing that is, I guess, interesting to me, we never talked about this, but the team shares rooms, and that's a a normal thing in the Filipino culture, which in our culture, like, I might be a little weird with that, if it were me. So we had less rooms than we had people. And that's why Daisy's saying, 5 rooms, but we had like 8 people there, or I don't remember what.
Yeah, we are used to like sharing rooms, and actually what happened was we invaded some of the rooms. So except for Isaac's and Jason's, but when we were in Baguio or in La Union, we always like go to one room, have a good conversation together. Yeah. So that's the hotel part of it. So as mentioned earlier, we rented a driver because we computed, we're accountants, right? So we computed if it's more practical to commute, get a driver anytime, right? Or rent a driver specifically to host us with the tour and, you know, someone who will just stay there in the hotel when needed. So we computed that, and it's more practical, way more practical to have that kind of thing where there's a driver, there's a specific car that will be used in the entire event. So we actually spent around 50,000 for that one, including the transfer from Manila to La Union to Baguio, back to La Union, back to Manila. So it's just a lot more practical.
Yeah, so that's about $900. So this, it was the same guy the whole time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he picked me up. I was the first one. We picked me up in Manila, picked the rest of the team up at a different hotel. And so it's just, we had one van for the whole 2 weeks. And he took us 5 hours north to La Union, where we stayed, and then took us to every restaurant we wanted to go to, everything, every activity that we did that was offsite, took us there, took us back, drove us up the mountain to Baguio, stayed there, drove us all around Baguio, then drove us back to La Union, then drove the rest of the team, because they left. Jason and I stayed an extra week. By the way, we didn't really talk much, and we're going to run out of time, but we didn't talk too much about the time that Jason and Daisy and I just hung out for a week. That was awesome. We did some planning. We had a great time, just the three of us. Drove the team back to Manila, beyond Manila, came back to get us, and then drove us back to Manila. So like, all that for $900, that's kind of amazing. wow, that really is amazing. What else do people need to know? Is there anything else? How much does food cost? Our meals were, there were about 8 of our team members were able to come, and we also had some spouses there. Because they're taking care of the kids, and we wanted to be friendly for all the families. So the spouses sometimes came to dinner. How much does one of those typical meals cost?
On average, it's 500 pesos per head. That's the average.
Okay, so that's like around $10, maybe $9. $500, right? Divided by 55. That's $9. $9 a piece. So very nice meals at very nice restaurants. $9 each, getting, you know, appetizers, drinks, that kind of thing. So, you know, you multiply that by how many people you've got. And it's roughly the same for really all of our meals. So then you total it up, and we'll get the final numbers, of course, too late to share with you. But yeah, you can expect roughly $12,000 for a team of 2 people flying in from North America. We had 7 or 8 people there, 5 or 6 rooms at each hotel, something like that. Anything else to add on the practical tips for people who want to do this with their team?
Maybe the season. Like, if it's a rainy season, it's it's way cheaper compared to the peak season.
Yeah, it was the rainy. So the rainy season is when?
Normally, it starts with the month of June, but the heavy rains will start around like August to October.
Yeah. So we planned to do this in June, but you know, it was hard for us to get over there. Actually, you know, the Philippines has not until recently allowed foreigners into the country in a big, you know, in a mass way, you know, through the pandemic until a few months ago. And so when we wanted to start, there just weren't many flights going to the Philippines. So it was, we had to delay a few months. So now it's great. As far as the rainy season, what the weather was like, that's a big wild card. I guess you don't know what you're going to get. So from my experience, what it seemed to me was, you know, it did, some days there was no rain, but a lot of the days there were, and generally the rain starts in the afternoon. Sometimes it's light and you can still have a good time. Other times it's just pouring down hard. You don't want to go out. It's loud, right? So probably not ideal to do it in the rainy season, but we didn't want to wait until the next dry season. So we just went and did it anyway. And we had a great time. There were some days where we were totally rained out, especially after we came back from Baguio and we were at, you know, your house. those were the heaviest rains, but it ended up being fine for us. I think that's most of it. I do have some general comments to share. Daisy, I don't know if we've talked about this. Maybe we did, but you know, for me, never having been to the country before, I thought I would just share some of my takeaways and in what I thought of the country, like and what's interesting there to me in terms of business and opportunity. And Daisy, you can correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, but to me, I fell in love with the country. Like the people, you guys, the team, first of all, it was a little bit biased because I spent the whole time with people I really like, which when I travel to most countries, I don't know anybody there. I'm just a random tourist, but my gosh, you guys are great. Such wonderful, warm, welcoming, friendly people. And yes, of course, the team is going to be that way. But I also, you know, when I was on my own, I felt very welcomed by, you know, whether I was walking into a restaurant or the hotel or some random shop. People look at me and smile and wave at me because I'm a white guy, apparently. And they say, "Hey, Joe," right? Do you know that, Daisy? Is that something you've heard?
No.
I've heard people before talk about the Philippines and the locals saying, "Hey, Joe," because it's the Americans, I guess, G.I. Joe, I don't know. But a few people said that to me. Anyway, it was fun. Just very, very fun. There's smiles everywhere. And the other thing, as far as like, I guess, opportunity-wise, it seems to me like the Philippines is in a big boom. Like it's from the outside, it looks like the country is doing very well, or at least it's growing. And it seems like it's growing quickly. And that's very interesting to see. Like, you go to Manila and my gosh, there's so much construction everywhere. There's like, you'll look to the left and there's this big skyline and there's like 10 or 15 skyscrapers under construction. It's like a whole, that could be a whole small city and it's being built all at once. And then you go somewhere else and you see something similar. It seems like, wow, there's a lot going on here. And the other places we went, there was, everywhere we went, there was a lot of construction. So I took that as, wow, that's a sign that some good things are happening. Do you have anything to say? You're smiling. I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, it just makes me proud. Like, I am living in a country that's growing.
Yeah. The other thing, and so, like, you know, I'm very much interested in economics and I'm reading about history and economics constantly. And so there's a difference between, you know, the numbers that you'll see in the news, like GDP numbers and growth numbers and inflation numbers and all of this. There's a difference between that and what it feels like in real life. And maybe those numbers will, maybe you'll see what I'm saying in those numbers too. I don't know. I haven't really looked it up. But yeah, just see. And the other thing that was really telling to me was, and this is the kind of thing that I think would be hard to tell from the numbers. But so, like I said, the Philippines was not open to foreigners, to visitors for like almost 2 years. And so that, and it was not, I mean, from our perspective, it was not a enjoyable place to be for about a year with the lockdowns. And the lockdowns were much more harsh than ours were. So it seems like a lot of the foreigners left for those years. And they just opened up. So we were among, you know, in among the first foreigners to come back. And I know the Philippines is a popular destination for foreigners. It's not like some places like Korea, I think has, at least when I lived there for a year in 2005. So things have changed. But anyway, the point is, I think that country is used to having a lot of foreigners around, is just what I've heard throughout the years. And, but they were mostly gone. Correct me if I'm wrong, Daisy. I don't want to say things that are just wildly wrong.
I've heard as well, like, there's a lot of businesses based in the Philippines, but like house owned, I mean, by foreigners. Some businesses closed already.
Yeah. And so the reason I'm dwelling on that and bringing this up is the tourism industry, right? Most countries' tourism industry is generated by tourists coming to the country. So I know that's a big deal there, and it was closed. So I was expecting to go there, being among the first, you know, couple of months of foreigners coming back. I was expecting the tourism industry to be decimated, resorts closed and gone out of business. And I thought maybe there would be nobody there, you know, we would have the place to ourselves. But that was so completely the opposite of what we saw. Everywhere we went, tons of people out. And like I said, this was probably the nicest resort I've ever been to. And it was packed. And I was shocked. And Daisy will remember, I was asking them. I asked several times, hey, are these locals or are these? Because, you know, I don't think I could tell if these were tourists from Malaysia or some other Asian country. I would ask, like, what languages are you hearing? And the answer was always just Tagalog or Filipino or other Filipino languages. And I couldn't believe that. It's like somehow all of those tourist dollars were being replaced by the locals. And that's, to me, that's shocking. And it tells me that the locals are doing So they're doing well enough that they have, they're willing to spend, you know, not small amounts of money to go to this really nice resort and bring their whole family and pack the place. And that was true everywhere we went. And so that to me told me, like, this country is, there's something good happening here. The locals seem to feel confident and, you know, that they can do things like that. So that's my perspective, Daisy. I'm curious what you think of those comments. Like, is that weird hearing me say something like that? Or does that, what's your experience?
Yeah, actually hearing that, those comments, I think, yeah, I agree. Like, the foreign, the tourists, the tourism part of the economy or the country is dropping, right? Yeah, as I've said earlier, businesses are closing, and yeah, that's actually, yeah, I agree.
But yeah, even with some businesses closing, enough people are feeling good enough about their own financial status that they're willing to go. Nobody needs to go to a 5-star resort, right? That's not a necessary purchase. And yet tons of them are doing it. So that tells me something good is happening there. What else? Oh, I don't think we even told you this, Daisy. Maybe Jason did, but we went and met with a local entrepreneur in Manila, who's a CFO who was, you know, freelancer, grew her own business, and then bought a co-working space. And so we were talking with her a lot about, you know, what it's like there. It just seems like, the online work opportunities are finally now becoming real there, and it seems to me that to be the start of a boom. And I'll just, for the listeners, you know, like, I've been working with people in the Philippines for eight years now. So to me, this is old. This is really old news. It's not new. It's not special. I mean, it is special. I think it's wonderful, but it's not novel. And because, you know, I can only see what I can see. It seemed to me that was a mainstream kind of thing that everybody knew about. And yes, it's still growing, but everybody knew about it. And if they wanted to, they were doing it. But that is not at all the case. We met with one of our team members whose husband is going to start getting into freelancing himself, because he's seen, you know, that, did I say husband? I didn't mean to say that. It's her partner. I don't want to get that incorrect, but I'm not calling her name out anyway. But anyway, this guy sees the difference in their salaries, right? You can make a lot more money working online. And so he just now started to educate himself, and he'll eventually get into it, freelancing. And I was very curious about this, and I asked him, so what about your friends? How are a lot of them doing this? He said, no, not a single one. He doesn't know anybody except his partner who is doing this. And to me, that was a moment of, like, my jaw hit the floor. I could not believe that. I thought everybody knew lots of people working online, and that everybody knew about the opportunities, but that's not true at all. And I said, well, what do your friends think about this? You changing, taking a career change. And they said, they're very interested. They're watching him very closely. They're going to see if it goes well, and when it does, they're going to follow him in. And so that to me was like a mind blowing moment. Like, we thought there was opportunity here. there is so much more opportunity for the people there, for people like us who like working with people there, who have experience working with people there. I really can't believe it.
Actually, I have a comment for that one. In general, Filipinas' mindset is like, if it's online, it's linked to a scam or something, right? Mm. So it's not real. It's just imaginary. So people tend to not believe in online stuff. So when you have someone already tried working online, that's the time that, okay, maybe I can give it a try. Maybe it's real, right? So for me personally, I worked with an on-site office setup for so long, I guess 7-8 years, and I didn't actually know about online stuff, online work, until my sister told me that, why don't you try joining the freelancing world, the virtual workers world. So since I have someone already experienced having that kind of work, right? So I am confident that they're not at all scam, but it's really associated with the scam thing if it's online. That's our mindset.
Yeah. So amazing. Amazing. All right. I've rambled enough for one day. We've gone over a lot more than I expected us to go over, but I hope for you listening, I hope that gives you an insight into what it's like building. You know, we have a pretty big team now, so that's really cool. What it's like to build the team, what the opportunities are, and maybe you have some good takeaways. I think there's just so much more opportunity out there, and you know, we don't have time to talk about it in this episode, but you know, we have the Great Resignation here in the U.S. People are having a really hard time finding employees. Employees don't seem to want the jobs that are here. And yet now, partly because of COVID and the pandemic, people like you, Daisy, have started looking for something else, online work. So to me, it's like there's so much opportunity if you can be the one to match those two sides. They want each other. They need each other. No matter what we Americans feel socially about, you know, the job. I don't know if there are even job losses because nobody even wants the jobs. Now I know there's going to be people reacting to me saying that, but that's not true for every single case. But anyway, so much opportunity. I came back just pumped. I'm still so excited for what we're doing, what we're going to do. And man, I'm going to double down on the Philippines, then double down again, then double down again. So thanks for listening. Thank you, Daisy, for coming in and joining. How was your first time on the podcast?
At first, I was really feeling nervous, like, OMG, this is going to be recorded. Like, I always talk to you on a regular basis, right? But this is so different that we know that it's recorded. But along the way, like, in the middle of the conversation, I feel like I forgot actually about the recording part. So I enjoyed my first time.
Well, we'll have to have you back. I hope for you listening, it's been insightful hearing from somebody on our team and what our experiences are. If you want to hear more stuff like this, let me know. We'll do it more. If you have questions about the retreat or how you might host your own, feel free to get in touch with me. And thanks for listening. And thank you, Daisy. This was awesome.
Thank you, Isaac.